Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. Now it's time for a Spotlight Star Wars with your host, Ken Knapsack.
Hey friends, welcome to a special edition of Spotlight Star Wars 137th in a continuing series. Normally Spotlight Star Wars is just me monologuing to you, just fellow Star Wars fans celebrating the greatest saga ever told, but from time to time we like to bring in some guests and talk about their fandom, their experiences with the franchise, and sometimes their involvement in the franchise. Presenting to you today, an interview with Jennifer Murrow. Jennifer, of course, wrote and was a key person in the development of Star Wars Forces of Destiny, a series, an animated micro-series that was announced at Star Wars Celebration 2017, debuted July 3rd, 2017. There was a preview episode at Orlando, if I remember, and last aired May 25th, 2018. Nicole Dubuque came in and finished the series. Jennifer wrote several of the episodes, all of season one and well into season two. They released different volumes. Hey, if you're listening, you probably know. But we are going to dive into that series. Over time, over the last couple of years, I actually become friends with Janet. We actually met on Collider Jedi Council when she was promoting Forces of Destiny the first time. it's a mutual friends. And as we talked about, talk a little bit about how that happened and the synergy of that happening. But that's what Star Wars does. It just, the Force works magically and brings you all together. But what's interesting is, you know, when you become friends with someone, you don't usually sit down and have conversations about their work. You might keep up to date with what they're doing and they'll keep up to date with what you are. But if they worked on a Star Wars picture, you don't sit down and ask, hey, tell me about your day at the office. Give me all the juicy details. It just may be something you don't do. While there might not be a lot of juicy details in this interview, we do get to spend some quality time talking about this series. What was interesting to me about Forces of Destiny is it definitely was targeted for a younger demographic, aired mostly on YouTube, did have some stuff on ABC, of course, but it was without a doubt trying to help introduce Star Wars to different generations. But some, because of jobs or podcasts we're involved with, shows that we're involved with that covered Star Wars, and just if you're a Star Wars fan, no matter the age, you're going to tune in and just see what this is about. We can always, always put you in a weird position as a fan, because if something in the Star Wars galaxy is specifically designed for an age group you're not in, you still have a tendency to look at it as it's part of Star Wars, especially when something's announced as canon, which this series is considered canon. However, as you'll see in the interview, Jen does discuss what that actually means to her as a creator and what it might mean to the stories. But it is giving you information. There's things to pull from it. And that's where I thought the series really succeeded, is it definitely went for the younger audience to help them get into Star Wars, which is, I still think, part of the big effect and the legacy of Forces of Destiny. But there's big themes, big lessons, and even big moments in this series, which is why I do go back to it and do revisit it. It is really fun to sit down and do this interview with Jen, and hope you all enjoy it. She also has some information on a new project that she just released, a graphic novel, a new DC character, Primer. And we do talk about that a little bit, and she'll tell you where you can find it. But that's enough about me. Let's get right to it. A quick break here. We're going to reset, and we'll talk to Jennifer Murrow of Forces of Destiny. Stick around. This is Spotlight Star Wars. Hey, Force Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Force Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, Four Center fans, I am so excited to bring to the show a real true friend of mine, who I had met around the time that Forces of Destiny exploded onto the Star Wars fandom, bringing a great little short bite-sized stories to a younger audience at times, but also to an older audience. And because it revealed important things. In fact, I even wrote about the series and a particular episode, the one where Leia gets her dress in my book, Why We Love Star Wars. So happy to bring Jennifer Murrow onto Force Center to talk about her work on Forces of Destiny. Welcome, Jen, to the Force Center universe.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, we're so good. We're so good surviving these times. Are we not there?
Yes.
Now, Jennifer, we don't want to forget one of the important things. You actually have a graphic novel in the world right now, co-written with Thomas Krajewski, and illustrations by Gretel Lusky. Primer is out in the world. And how many Star Wars references are in the book? Don't answer that. Go now.
That's a good question. Do we have one?
It's a DC property, so that'd be hard, right?
Probably, yes, it is. It's a DC graphic novel with a new superhero, and she's awesome. And I promise, if we get another book, I will absolutely try to sneak Star Wars references in there.
There you go. There you go. We'll talk about Primer a little bit at the end here. Primer is out there, available right now, and I'm very proud of my pal Jen.
Thanks.
A wonderful book, putting that great character out into the world. I'm also really proud to know you for your work on Forces of Destiny. It's actually was immediately one of my favorite things. I kind of got the vibe, got what was going. They released, when did they release? Was it spring 2018? Because it was Star Wars Celebration Orlando that they announced it, right?
So it was April 17. But I had been working on it since 16. And I think the last ones were aired at the end of 18 or mid 18.
That is right. Yeah, sorry. I'm just looking at the whole batch. Yeah, I've got it up on Wikipedia here. Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. I want to go back to the beginning here, and we got some great fan questions from our Patreon supporters through our Discord. They're really excited, by the way, to just hear you talk about Forces of Destiny. In fact, recently, a couple of our listeners actually cited that they showed some youngsters in their families or relatives or even just friends Forces of Destiny as an entry point into Star Wars. So as a Star Wars fan, which you are, how does that make you feel?
Well, yeah, that was definitely that was the goal. So it was to introduce younger fans, younger, the fans' kids, that we wanted to just indoctrinate them early. And it basically, it is, you know, it is a younger friendly way to introduce and understand who the characters are. So no, that's really awesome. That, and I think still people are doing that to this day. Yeah. So it makes me feel happy and that we achieved our goal.
Yeah. And especially considering the, definitely the, I know at some point there was Luke or some of those characters were featured, but, and Han and everyone shows up and Finn's there, but this was definitely too, also, especially when it was in Orlando at Star Wars Celebration 2017, this was like focusing on a lot of the female characters in Star Wars, which is something that's equally as important and powerful. And I know something near and dear to your heart too, as well. So that was also part of the reason it was so cool.
Oh yeah. I mean that April 17th changed my life. Yeah. That was an amazing experience and
yeah.
I don't think we'll be replicated. So it is good memories and hopefully lots of photos and
Well, I want to dive in right there. How does that feel? Because I know around that weekend, you know, Janina Gavankar, who you're friends with, had the great Iden weekend. Like that was a big Star Wars. That was a great celebration. How did that feel? Were you sitting in the crowd when they unveiled this stuff?
Yeah. I was in the front row. And Dave Filoni was up on stage with Daisy Ridley and Ashley Eckstein and Tia Sakaar, and was pretty amazing. And and that was my panel. And then Janina's panel, I think, was either the day before. So yeah, we both were sitting on this news for our own individual stuff for like a long time. So we were both like bursting at the seams and like tearing up. So it was a pretty amazing experience.
As short as you can, because I know sometimes these journey stories can be long. How did you get to this point? How'd you get involved? I know you and Dave Filoni, the man in the cowboy hat, probably had worked together before, if I remember the story correctly, but what was the journey there?
Yeah. I mean, we had known each other at Nickelodeon when he was on Avatar, The Last Airbender, and he was directing that at the time. And, you know, we were all part of that, that nerd group, and also Italian helps too. And Giancarlo Volpe, who I always make a shout out to, cause he's awesome from Clone Wars, but, all three of us. Yeah. And then I had been doing stuff for Warner Brothers in DC. And then this initiative came up and Dave asked if I was available. And we went in and talked with the team here down in Burbank. And the rest changed my life.
Yada, yada, yada. You're right in Star Wars.
Right. It took a long time, obviously. But especially, I think the jump to, I was writing female action.
Yeah.
I think that was a jump because for women, it was really hard in the 2000s to have women write a lot of action stuff. There weren't a lot of us. And now it's everywhere, which is fantastic. But I was early on and it took a long time to punch through. And I did.
And you did. You just kept punching. And
then I kept punching.
And I do remember, I don't know if we've ever talked about it directly. I do remember because this is time when I'm, you know, knee deep working for Jedi Council and doing stuff with Collider and a little bit more worried about Star Wars news than I am now. We we're about themes and the moments of Star Wars, a little bit of news here and there. I remember, I think it was a tweet or an Instagram picture. You had posted something up there in front of Yoda at Lucasfilm or something like that. And suddenly that was a story, right? People are talking about that. Do you remember that time?
I was in front of the ranch and I asked to make sure I could post a picture as long as I think you had to be in the photo. You couldn't just take photos or something. But I had no idea. Like I wouldn't have bothered. I would have absolutely not have put it up in the first place had I known it was going to be a big deal, which is why I asked. I'm like, I could post a picture, right? And then I was like, yeah, no, this is just too much. So yeah, it was interesting. I did not realize that was a thing, but there's a lot of Star Wars news now. I don't know if that kind of thing would matter these days. Even just a few years ago, it makes a difference, I feel like. I think because of Disney Plus has really changed things.
Sure, but I think it might be even worse. There'd be people camping outside of your house. Yeah, those were the heady days of 2016 range or wherever, whenever you post that picture.
Right, yeah, no, I mean, look, if I could do it again, I would definitely not have posted it, but I mean, it's fine. But it was just a learning experience, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're part of this big machine and that a lot of people have a vested interest in as fans, and that's daunting. As well. And again, I know you're a fan. You're a super nerd of him.
Yeah. I was excited. I was just excited to not only see, like, you know, where all this magic happened, also to see where my friend Dave worked and hit and what he went from to where he was then. And it came from such a personal place. And then I realized the world still is a part of that in terms of Star Wars. So yeah. It's just, you know, it was something to get used to and learn lessons from.
You know, it's so funny. The story, I may have told it maybe on, say, the Knapsack Files, but over here in Force Center, you and I met through Jedi Council. You were coming by to do promotions for Forces of Destiny, and the host of the show was like, I don't have time to go over the notes. I need you to sit down and do the interview. And I was like, okay, great. I love this series, and I'll watch it. And then at the same time, my friend and writing partner, longtime writing partner and friend, Matt Key, texts me and goes, hey, do you know who Jennifer Miro is? And I'm like, oh, she's literally coming in today.
Oh my God.
And that was about something else, another project that we've been plucking away for years. And it was just one of those, I was like, no, I think she's literally driving to the studio right now, Matt. And he's like, oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So that's
where I didn't know it was that exact day. Oh, wow. I didn't know that part.
It was a weird, and that's happened twice through Jedi Council. I was listening to the music of an artist named Van William. And on a radio station, and just loving his song, his hit single that was coming out, Revolution, with the First Aid Kit, a band featured in it and everything. And I was like, this is great. And then I show up and I get an email, show up to Jedi Council, and they're like, oh, here's today's guest. It's this guy, Van William. And he stands up and goes, oh, hi, fan of Jedi Council. I'm like, I've literally just been listening to your music.
Literally. I'm telling you, man, you are the crux of the universe. I think you're like, you know, I think you're that whole, like, Back to the Future 2 thing where if you see yourself, the world will implode or something. I don't know. That's pretty rad, though.
Yeah. No. So it's Star Wars brings together. And you're like that, too. I'll go to one of your birthday parties and I'm talking to, you know, one of the original producers of The Simpsons that don't even know it. You know, you've got to don't cut yourself short there, Jen. You know,
that's true. I do. I do have creative friends who I love and I'm so grateful for. And yeah. I treat them like any other friend. I guess I don't think of it that way, but I think my 20-year-old self should be freaking out. But now that I'm living it, I'm just grateful that I have people I love and they're awesome and
they
treat me and respect me as an equal. So it's really, really, really grateful.
That's awesome. Good. But that's kind of my point of this whole kind of friend story here is, you know, you and I don't sit down and talk Star Wars a lot when we're usually talking about tomatoes that you throw in your garden. So I don't, it's like you and I both know Nathan Hamill. I've never once asked him about his dad. Why would I do that? It's Nathan. We talk about Young Guns. Like,
right. I was going to say, yeah, me neither. We'd usually drink whiskey or something.
Yeah. But when you knew Filoni back in the day, because I actually had a good friend of mine was at Nickelodeon at SpongeBob during that time. And he remembers the Airbender team down the hall.
Right.
Wow. Bunch. Did Filoni have the cowboy hat then? Because my friend couldn't remember. Did he have the cowboy hat?
Oh, Jesus. I got to ask Giancarlo, or I could just ask Dave, but I don't remember. Oh my gosh. I feel like he did. I mean, it's not like he wore it around the studio. He did. Oh, damn. Now you stumped me. I actually don't remember.
That's funny.
I don't remember him wearing it around the studio. Let's put it that way. It might have been like if he went out or something, but it was not a daily basis. That I can tell you.
Right. And he's from Pittsburgh. So I don't know how the connection. It's a thing and he loves the hat. He wears it it's a part of who he is.
If he can wear a hockey mask all day long, he'd probably rather do that, I'm sure. Yeah, because he's the biggest hockey fan. So
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, it was a good choice.
So moving on from Dave to actually the series here. In writing about your series in my book, Why We Love Star Wars, in fact, your quote is on the cover of my book.
Thank you.
I felt compelled to write about this series because we're in this new modern era of Star Wars. Entry points into the franchise are very interesting to me, and I think they're very important because Force Awakens might be the first time you saw it. The Clone Wars, Forces of Destiny for some people will be the first Star Wars they see. And it would be very easy to look at a animated short form show, did see, was broadcast on TV, but might live on YouTube. And you as an older Star Wars fan or a grumpy Star Wars fan, anything could write this up. And I loved the stuff, the big themes, the little moments, and the episode of Leia getting her dress, a question that I've been asking myself for 30 plus years as a fan.
Right.
Where did the Ewoks make that? How did that go? You're answering it. And so it's big canon in a little package. How did that feel tackling specific little moments like that and Leia Dress? How did it feel writing that moment? I got to know.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, looking at the larger picture and going back to the very beginning, I think Dave Filoni put it best where it is. It happened, but it happened through Maz Kanata's goggles in a way. Like it's her point of view of it in a way. So it's almost like oral tradition being handed down and talked about. So I think the canon thing is so weird to me. But yeah, I mean, it's like that's Maz's version of how it went down. That doesn't mean it's not true. It's just, you know, think of Sophia Petrillo on Golden Girls. You know, there might be an embellishment here and there, or there might be an extra thing here and there. So it's it, what's nice is at least touching on those moments and going, oh yeah, what about that? Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, that to me, I think matters. I think that was really fun.
I think it's very important to hear because I love canon, but I don't focus on it, especially not so much anymore. But I love getting that answer. I love playing with the story. But I love hearing that, hey, it might be through Maz's eyes. And, hey, these stories can change. George did that himself with his own canon. But I think it's important. I think it's great to hear from a Star Wars creator, which you are. Your name is on most of these Forces of Destiny episodes, first couple volumes here. You're a Star Wars creator. And to hear that, look, the little details, we knew we were going to have fun with them. We knew we weren't going to give answers that you needed to etch down in stone because that's not the point. It's the why of the story. I love hearing that. I love hearing that approach.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's, I mean, we had some interesting moments through some, you know, some, obviously the classics and, and I'm just grateful to be able to do that and have fun with it and play with it and make friends with the voiceover actors in there. And like, you know, it just becomes a family and I'm very grateful for that family to this day.
A Star Wars voiceover family. That's a good family to have. Got some questions here from our listeners. They support us on Patreon, and I posted something in our Discord server. And like I said, people were really excited to know that you're coming on.
And
even a couple years after its release is still something that incites some passions in the fans here. So we got Chad here. Chad Benefield writes, I'm curious about the lead time for animation. Was Jen able to know the direction of any current stories so that it might influence her episodes? Was there any actual overlap is the first part of his question. Animation lead time is pretty large, Jen, right?
Yes, it's pretty large. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, it was at least a year, I think, or something like that. I mean, I think it's minimum 8 to 10 months. I mean, that's minimum. So yes, I mean, it's an absolutely large lead time, which is why I couldn't talk about it for so long because the writing's very early on that.
Yeah.
And in terms of the rest of it. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if that answers the question in terms of the timeline.
Yeah, I guess so. You're sitting, you might have known some things from Last Jedi then, right? Because you're
They put you in a room. They make sure you just have a photocopy of what you're reading and then you can't take anything with you. So yeah, no, I needed that for Last Jedi. Absolutely.
Yeah. How close were you to accidentally spilling the beans? You don't have to answer that if it puts you into any legal position, a bad legal position.
No, it's not at all. But also, I think it was also Rogue One at the time.
Yes.
That was another thing I'm like, you know, and it was kind of nice to, when I saw what everything was, I was like, oh, okay. So that's what that was.
Yeah.
And that's kind of very a dream come true and fun to like,
that's cool.
Nothing to spill the beans over, but enough for my brain to go, oh. So that was really neat.
How did, so Chad's second half of the question here, Did you submit a ton of story ideas? Lucasfilm picked the ones they like. And if so, were there some that you really loved that maybe didn't get made, or at least not yet?
I mean, there was one or two that didn't get made, but you know, Carrie Beck and Dave and Josh Rimes were the heart of this thing. I mean, they helped make this happen. So, I mean, it wasn't like I submitted a ton of stuff as far as I'm remembering. It was definitely
collaborative type of thing.
Exactly. It was a group effort in that way. Absolutely. I mean, Carrie's brilliant and Dave spreads himself as much as he can and he was great about it. So
yeah, I think, we joke about the man in the cowboy hat. I think Dave's great. But I think Carrie Beck is one of the underrated stars.
Oh, completely.
Doesn't get the press. Even if she has a droid named after her in Resistance.
Yeah. I mean, she's producing everything and, you know, and even now with Mandalore, all this stuff. I mean, this is, you know, she's not going anywhere. which is great. So yeah, absolutely. She had a huge part of this to help get this through, help get stuff through.
Great. That's great. We got Utini. Utini asks, do you have a favorite episode from the ones you remember? I know probably it's even hard for you to remember all the episodes you wrote.
Well, I mean, it was the Luke on Dagobah in Empire Strikes Back. So that was just so trippy. So that was just really, really cool.
Yeah, I want to put a pin in that one. Come back to that one, Utini. Utini also asks in the episode Porg Problems, he says he wondered for a very long time. He does add, which would make for a bad question, I think, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Okay.
Why do the Porgs climb the rocks? There's this great moment. He even included a little gif of it, of the Porgs climbing up to meet Rey. I love Porgs. I unapologetically love Porgs. So to see them climb, I love this. Did you have a say in that, or were you like, hey?
No, I mean, that's definitely the animation, but like, I mean, rather than flying?
Well, just, I don't know. I imagine in my head canon, I imagine you sitting around your writing desk, calling up Dave Filoni and Carrie Beck on the red presidential phone and going, I need Porgs to climb up a rock.
Honestly, I think the best reason they probably did it was because it looks so damn cute flopping from rock to rock.
They
I mean, come on.
Come on. It's the power of cute in Star Wars.
Yeah. So it probably looked awesome, and that's definitely on the animation side, I think, as far as I remember. But yeah, floppy feet equal cuteness.
That's true.
Yes.
Remember that, kids, if you're writing your own things. Great question there. Alden Diaz writing in with a great question. He wrote, oh, that's awesome. So again, excited to see it. He'd love to know how you approach your writing for established characters. So, you know, how do you find their voices? Maybe rewatching the films or reading the scripts. And have you ever wrestled with the lines that you gave them? Like saying, would Han really say this? How much does your inner fan guide you and inspire confidence in how you're creating these characters? So a lot of questions there, Jen, but I it's something I think I even had for you back then and wonder now. You're writing for characters you grew up watching.
Right.
How daunting is that? And how did you approach it?
I mean, it's weird. It's weird, but it's, for me, and now that I've done it even more and more up to recently, actually, it is respecting the characters and respecting the fandom and respecting the world. It's not really the fandom as much as, you know, what's come before you, what needs to change or not. But it's I try to keep as respectful as possible. So that's how I approach it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had help with that in terms of like what they say, wouldn't say, or, you know, we'll word things a little differently, or, you know, I mean, Dave absolutely, you know, with Yoda's dialogue on Dagobah, like, you know, there's playing with that and making sure that was good. So, you know, I think if you have the right team to help you with that in terms of keeping it in the right place, that's great. But also coming from a place of, I don't want to screw this up. I wouldn't want me to be mad as a fan. So it's like, if you come at it from that kind of place, I think that's helpful.
It would be, I'm such a Han fan, for instance, like to actually try to write dialogue for Han, even in a small one line. I remember you have one line that I really love because he does use it in Force Awakens where he calls BB-8 a ball. The line's great. You guys have a great actor performing Han in the series.
And, yes, he's amazing. AJ is fantastic. Yeah. And or like even with Hera, mm-hmm. and Han on Endor. So, and like them having a conversation and him being pissed about the ghost. And I mean, that's just like, how would he react in that? And like, I mean, if you know Han and Harrison Ford long enough, then I think you can manage it.
And you did. You did more to manage it. I remember just laughing at that delivery and that line. So good stuff. Alden has a follow-up there, and it says, how does Jen respond to hearing her words performed? And that's something that goes beyond Star Wars. You work in a lot of animated projects, but going specifically to Star Wars, how did it feel to have your Star Wars words come to life, including, you know, Mr. Mark Hamill himself?
Yeah, that's why it's like crazy. And I got to talk to him about it, and he was concerned. He was like, I hope I can do my younger, like, I hope it went well. Like, did I sound like my younger voice? And I was not at that session, but I was like, I am sure it was absolutely fine. The man who can do Joker and a million other things is going to be absolutely fine. And it did end up being absolutely fine, which was very cool. Or to even see Yoda happen, or yeah, or even like, you know, AJ LoCascio, his Han is so good. I remember closing my eyes in this session just to like hear like Han Solo, and like it was so Harrison Ford. It was really scary. So he did a really good job.
Really good job.
It was very cool.
Love that, man. That'd be something else. Alex Corey, a couple more left here, Jen. Alex Corey writes, what is the most challenging episode of Forces of Destiny to develop? So you can go either way with that in terms of just cracking a story or just writing a Star Wars story. What was the ones that maybe you had some self-doubt over, you had to overcome? All of them were home runs, but anyone give you a little bit of a fit?
God, that's a really good question. I think the Dagobah one was tough because I wanted to get it right. And that was so important. That was such an interesting moment with like Yoda in the backpack.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dave always thought it would be fun, you know, cause like George just get in the backpack. Why not? Cause he's in a backpack. I always thought that was hysterical and a good reason, but that was tough only cause I wanted to get that right. I think, also for Rogue One for Jyn, because I don't think it was it out yet? I'm trying to even remember. It was just much lesser known, and
right.
I wanted to make sure that was good too. So yeah, I think those are the ones that stand out.
No, that's great. Yeah. Because when these were released, October 2017, Rogue One had been a year out, but it was weird seeing, it was kind of our first Rogue One being in the modern Star Wars era. Like it's just part of it. Now you're seeing additional storytelling from Rogue
right.
One. Yeah. So absolutely.
Yeah.
I could see that. And then you wrote Ewok Escape. You wrote the one with Princess Nisa, right? The is that yours? The one Chief Chirpa's daughter, right? As
was that me?
I don't know. I'm trying to get the list because
I mean, I did, I did a bunch of, I think with at least two with Padme. Kat Tabor is amazing at that, of course.
Trying to remember, maybe it is volume two or three.
It might have been, Hoth was also super fun too, because that was a scene cut from the movie, which was fantastic.
Beasts of Echo Base, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great.
And that was really, really fun too. And I wanted to get that one right as well. So that was,
that's a good one.
Because it was like, you know, it was almost like filmed in a way, like where there is cut scene from that. There's actually film footage of, you know, ripping that off. But like, yeah, so I just, that was fun. And I wanted to make sure we got that right.
I totally forgot about that. That was great. Yeah. Final one here from our good friend, definitely not Trey. Trey writes, what are the challenges writing for a younger audience in mind? Again, you have a lot of different experiences writing for different age groups. Primer, you're writing a 13-year-old main character. To take Star Wars and boil it down for literally kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 range.
Right.
But also for, 40 plus me.
all ages. Yeah.
How did you as a team, you're Filoni, everyone, carry it back. How did you guys try to approach Star Wars for youngsters?
I think keeping it as simple as possible. And I think when I originally my scripts were longer than they ended up being. They definitely ended up getting cut because it's like just right. I mean, they weren't long scripts, but it was like, here's the stuff. And now how can we boil it down even further? And then once it gets to animation, you know, there's only a certain amount of time, and then it gets, and it's about the heart moments and the lesson moments, I think. And, you know, obviously less violence. And I think those are the main ones to, you know, it's making sure your emotional intelligence stays on track with for the younger audience specifically. It doesn't have to be educational. It's just about, clear through lines, clear themes, and executing that. So yeah, that's what that was like.
Makes total sense. Love it. Final question is from me, Jen.
Oh,
how are you going to feel when 5, 10, 15 years, we're at a Star Wars celebration and someone comes up to you and they're in their early 20s and they're big Star Wars fans and they say, oh my gosh, you wrote Force of Destiny. That's the first Star Wars I ever saw. What are you going to feel?
Damn, that's it. Well, number one, I'll feel old. Then I'll feel proud. And then I will want to siphon their blood for youth juices. Right. And then probably shake their hand and take a picture or something. That would be really, really cool and sweet. And I guess it's really hard to picture it mattering, even in such a small little part of the Star Wars universe. You know, I mean, I'm grateful for to even ever have touched it. So, I mean, it would be fantastic and a nice recognition.
I think that's going to happen. I think you're going to.
I hope so. I hope I'm around. Yeah. I hope the apocalypse doesn't undo me.
You know, that aside, you know, maybe we'll be on Mars, Star Wars Celebration Mars. I don't know.
I'd go for that.
There you go. Jen, thank you so much for answering all the questions about Forces of Destiny. It's still one of my favorite things of the modern Star Wars era. And if you're out there listening, you haven't checked it out, please do. I think it's up on the Disney YouTube channel. I was just double checking to make
sure. It's on Disney Plus. It's all on Disney Plus
right now. It's on Disney Plus now. That's right. Good for you.
There's a whole menu and a whole thing. It's really, really exciting.
Hey, you're a sub menu. That's awesome.
I'm a sub menu.
Check it out. And then I think it's great. If you got a young Star Wars fan in your life, that has been the case. I think it's our good pal, Mark Canope, who listens to Force Center all the time. He was one I think posted, like he sat down with a relative like 3 or 4 years old, maybe even younger, and said, this is the first Star Wars we're going to see. So
that's really cool
for that. And then we can't let you go, Jen, without talking again about Primer. Folks, Primer is out there. It's a graphic novel, a superhero graphic novel following the adventures of 13-year-old Ashley Rayburn and her magic paint powers. Jen, is that the best way to
Well, it's a techie science thing, but yes, it's her high-tech paints and what she does with them. And so that's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and in local comic book shops. Support your local comic book shops if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a fan of Forces of Destiny, fan of Jen Murrow, fan of Force Center, throw your support behind Primer. Head to your local shop, ask for it if they don't have it. That often helps. I talked about other places, but like with people trying to order my book at a bookstore that forces them or a comic shop, they got to order a couple and then there's a few on the shelf. It really helps. So do that. Or, of course, you can get it online as well.
Yes.
Jen, thank you so much for making your Force Center debut. Too long, but today.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Hey, Force Center fans, don't forget, Force Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's Force Center on YouTube. Check it out. Thanks to Jennifer Murrow coming on in here to Force Center, making her debut on Force Center. Long time coming. And I hope you guys loved that interview, love some of the insights into the making of Forces of Destiny. And if you haven't checked out that series, but you're still listening, give it a check. Give it a check out. Just swing by, poke around, see what you like. I think you'll find some stuff that will surprise you and also entertain you. And also, you know, porks. If anything, go for the porks. I want to thank everyone who listens to us here on Spotlight Star Wars. It's been a lot of fun. We've been putting out a lot of content recently. New shows, trying things. We will have the return of the Data Pit. I'll put together one of those as I try to find the best way to make that show work. We got the Patreon page with a little of the Force broadcast and working on some other stuff as well. We haven't neglected the comic books. It's just been a weird time for me. We're getting ready to maybe dive into some of the comic books in a way that we maybe have never done before in Force Center. But that's been one of the little side effects from the pandemic. Yes, you can get your comic books digitally. A lot of you probably do. I probably should. I love supporting my local comic shop. For me, it's a shop called Earth 2 in Northridge, California. And I head on out there and pick up the comics. Well, that stopped. I couldn't do that. were just getting back to a routine where they're able to mail out the comics, and I am just now catching up with the new Dr. Aphra, the new Star Wars mainline, the Bounty Hunters comic, which is, it's been pretty good. Bounty Hunters aren't something I really dive into a lot on Star Wars. I'm not drawn to them as much. There are some great Bounty Hunter characters I do enjoy. Black Krasantan, Ara Singh, Cad Bane. You know, they're definitely something I'm interested in. But they're on the depth chart. They're a little lower in the depth chart. But that Bounty Hunter comic series, I actually got to say, I've been kind of enjoying that one as well and was finally able to like catch up with them. So the big Vader reveal, the big Vader comic stuff that's been going on, a lot of the history with Padme Sabe showing up, I am a little behind on, but I'm looking forward to getting to those books. And that's a great thing. We talked about Forces of Destiny today, and that's a couple years old. If you didn't experience it then, you can go back and experience it now. Star Wars is always there for all of us. And that's one of the things I love about it. Even if you start collecting baseball cards and sell all your Star Wars figures to get a skateboard so you can fit in with the rest of the kids at school, it doesn't matter. Star Wars doesn't go away. You can always come back to it. And that's one of the things we love celebrating about Star Wars. And we appreciate your support. You can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Spotlight Star Wars if you want to join this conversation. Or just want to ask a question for a future Spotlight Star Wars episode that is specific to me and this show. There's also the main show. You can use the hashtag Force Center and ask us questions there. We're on Instagram, YouTube. You can like our Facebook page. Don't forget, if you want to get some merchandise, tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter is the place to go. You can always try a free audiobook out on us at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. And as always, patreon.com/ForceCenter is a place to support us. But we always say we appreciate your support no matter what it is, even if it's giving us a listen, giving us a like, a subscription, a rating, a review, or even better, telling a friend about us. We appreciate all of you here in the Force Center family. So that's it. We'll see you next time on Spotlight Star Wars.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.